You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. It is actually fantastic as we are recording today. Not sure when this show will come out, but as we are recording today, some really fire news came out, and that is Skydio released their new drone. I'm not sure if it's called the R2. Let's see. It is called the Skydio 2. Either way, very, very excited. We're going to be having a lot of information in the upcoming news show this week, so make sure to check that out. But overall, I have to say how incredibly excited we are for this new drone, which has a price point lower than the Mavic series, the current Mavic series, and offers quite a lot of capability. So we're going to be really excited to see what comes of this drone, and we're really excited to see where it goes. So before we get into today's show, just wanted to mention that. But my name is Paul.
And my name is Rob. Very, very exciting, and I love that price point. Maybe get a couple of them.
Yeah, $9.99. It's unbelievable. Yeah, he's saying one for him. Yep. Hopefully we will. So
yeah, no, that's cool. I love that it's American made. That's very, very exciting. And just hoping that turns out to be all that it seems to be. Because if so, very exciting.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, but
yeah. So welcome to episode 1040. Sorry I cut you off, Paul, but I wanted to get that out there, and let's rock and roll.
Definitely excited. Today's show is brought to you by our awesome Drone U community, and now we even have a Drone U mapping community. So for those students who attend those mapping classes, they have an opportunity to kind of vet their questions to, you know, a very, very specific, nuanced community. And I really think that really takes just the feedback to a whole nother level.
Great.
I would like to say thank you to everyone who has been a part of DroneU, past, present, and future. Really, really grateful for everyone who is in the community, because even though it's not one of the largest communities, at least the training membership community, the people who are in that community are really, they're just another caliber, and they're people who are willing to help. And what I'm trying to say here is the culture that we have created is something that I don't see anywhere else, and I'm so, so grateful for it. So for everyone who is a DroneU member, thank you. I mean, really, really thank you. So
absolutely.
Very grateful.
Well
and
said.
Anyway, lastly, we are looking for new sponsors for the Ask DroneU podcast. If you believe that you would be a good sponsor for the show, don't be afraid to reach out to us and let us know. Today's particular question, you would guess that we asked someone to ask this question, but we did not. And it's a good opportunity to kind of discuss why would you need a certain type of training? What are things that people don't typically know about or understand very well? Typical, you know, points of contention when people are learning to train. And it was actually very interesting, Rob. At the NTSB class that I keep calling it the NTSB class, at the crash reconstruction class that took place at the NTSB Training Academy, one of the questions that we got from Juan, who's from Ecuador, he said, why do people still need drone training, even if they're, you know, kind of intermediate or, you know, experienced pilots? He was filming his blog there from Ecuador, and I kind of gave him an answer. But after flight mastery, I think he could answer that question himself. Which is, you know, drone flying is not like riding a bike.
Well,
you don't just pick it up and leave it and then pick it up again and can expect to be smooth.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the other answer that I like to give in that particular scenario is name the best athlete in any sport that you're aware of, that you love, whatever, who's reached the pinnacle of success, and tell me whether they have a coach or not.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, literally, Tiger Woods has had a coach his entire career. So that's why, because
yeah,
you can always be learning, and you always need an outside perspective, because we are in the trees inherently when we're doing work or when we're trying to learn on our own. And so sometimes we need to get out and see the forest, and we need some help doing that. There's so many reasons we could go on and on.
Definitely.
But I love the question.
I think it is a good question. I think another caveat about that coach, because there is a guy named, has coach in his name, in this industry, I think what's really important is that when you are working with a coach, that that coach has innate real life experience. They're not just touting things.
Yeah.
Or I'm not even going to talk about that or go down that rabbit hole, because we're coming from a place of people understand our value.
Yeah.
I don't have to explain it anymore. It's something that people know. If they come to a training here, they instantly get it. And that is speaking volumes. We're making waves with enormous people in this industry, training groups and clients that other people have tried to go in and literally steal from us. And, you know, again, I'm just so grateful for the quality, the culture,
the community,
the ideology as well, you know?
Absolutely. The ideology, and it's all contained within the community. And I just love being a part of it.
True. All right. Well, let's stop, you know, touting our own horn, and let's get right to this question, which again, we did not actually ask someone to bring this question to the show. So I just want to preface that again.
Hey guys, this is Martin calling in. I'm really new to the whole drone industry. Just bought myself the Mavic 2 Pro, and I'm trying to find out everything I possibly can, whether it's YouTube, whether it's podcasts or looking at websites, about what I need to know to fly safely and properly. And I came across you guys. You guys have a lot of fantastic info out there. Quite a bit of it is over my head still. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but that's pretty advanced stuff. So a lot of it, though, is actually really helpful, and it's given me a lot of things I need to look into. But here's a problem I've come across. I'm Canadian. I live up in Canada, and I'm wondering how relevant all of your training and all of your info is for Canadians, because it seems like 95% of it is all tailored towards the United States. So what I'm wondering is, can any of it be used as proof, experience, legitimate credentials up here? If I were to take some of your training classes, can I even take your training classes? Can I come down there? Do you have any Canadian subsidiary that you use, or do you send anyone up here for training sometimes? And if not, will you ever do that? Or can you recommend someone that's on par with what you guys do? Also, kind of a funny note here, for Canadians, your classes are pretty expensive because our dollar really sucks. So I'm just wondering if there's some type of Canadian rate that you maybe give out if we're able to even come down there. And then I was also curious about why all of your classes are only tailored to Phantoms or some of the other drones. I bought the Mavic 2 Pro, and even for your most basic class, the Flight Mastery class, it says you can't use the Mavic. I'm curious why. Thanks for everything, guys. Hopefully you can help me out or answer some of my questions. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Martin. Appreciate the question. A lot of questions in there, which I love. Very efficient phone call on your part. And we'll try to address all of them.
Yes.
As much as we can.
So I wrote down two questions. How relevant is the training for Canadians? And then why is the training tailored to Phantoms? So let's talk really quick about the first question. How relevant is the training for Canadians? Maybe a better question too is, how relevant is the training for users outside of the United States? I think that's actually a very important question. The next question is, well, which training are you talking about? Because if we're talking about legal compliance and acquiring certificates, then our Part 107 training is, I would say, half relevant to users that are outside of the United States. And why do I say that? Well, airspace is airspace. I mean, how do planes and, you know, large commercial airliners work from country to country? I mean, are airspace maps, quote unquote, similar? Are they the exact same? Are they slightly different? I would say that I've come to find that they're pretty similar in most cases, especially between Canada and the United States, and even into Mexico as well. I think that, you know, when it comes to legal compliance training, the Part 107 class that goes over airspace from DroneU would be very, very relevant to anyone in Canada, anyone in Mexico, and probably any country that utilizes the American aviation system as the standard for their aviation guidelines. Because the FAA is the standard for a lot of other countries, you would be surprised the number of countries that maybe airspace is still relevant to those users.
I know I would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly surprised whenever I'm looking at airspace maps, traveling to and fro.
But, and like you said, Canada is most definitely one, right?
Oh, that would. I could literally pull up the airspace sectional right here and just go up to New York, and you can see Canadian airspace around Montreal and Toronto and all that. And also, we have two members who have utilized our training to get the license in Canada. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, what they utilized. They told me that airspace was airspace. And I have to say, I really think that our Part 107 airspace section is fundamentally better than every other drone school slash academy slash coach slash wannabes. Like, there is no way to work around 30 plus years of airspace knowledge, education, and training. I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about the bald-headed bureau next to me. I'm talking about our CFI, Ted Wilson. I mean, Ted's experience working with United Airlines over the years is second to none.
As an instructor, no less.
As an instructor, second to none. There is a reason that people still go to other schools and then come to us when things don't go right and still take our airspace class. And there are people that go to other schools and things go fine, but they've checked out some of our airspace material online and they're like, you know what? I want to check that out.
Yeah.
How many testimonials have you seen? Because I know I've seen a lot like that.
We get a lot of that for sure. And not to mention, Ted's just a great communicator. So it's not just the knowledge and the experience, but it's his ability to communicate that knowledge and experience. He's very, very, very good at it.
He's very eloquent, I think.
Yeah, just a good, fun, makes it interesting, tells stories. You're getting me all excited.
Well, it's exciting because it's retainable.
It's told
in a way that people really understand and it works for.
You know, the other thing, since we're on this, he cares so much about, like, if he trains a class, let's just say it's four people from a company or something, he'll call me later and say, so did you hear? Did they pass? And if not, which is very rare, he wants to call them and talk to them and try to understand why they didn't and help them. Again, that's very rare, but the couple times that I can think about where it's happened, he literally called them and helped them figure out what went wrong, helped them fix it so they could pass. That's the kind of guy he is.
And I remember that specifically too, because we've only had one person not pass this year. And he was like, what happened? What happened?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he was like, what did I miss?
Right.
So he does care. I would say the flip side to this though, is while the airspace section is very useful for users from all over the world, the regulatory and compliance aspect, like operations and whatnot, may not be that relevant. The rules may be very different in your country. Is there value for airspace? Yes. What about the operations and, you know, some of these other assets? They may not be that useful, but one thing that is very useful is the aeronautical decision making, the I'm safe material, all of that. I think
weather is
going to be universal. So again, I would say that maybe half to 60% of the material is relevant to users in Canada and Mexico, definitely North America. For other countries outside of that, you know, it was funny, you know, talking to Juan, he's like, you know, there are regulations in Ecuador, but there's no legislation in Ecuador. So we're kind of just following like parts of the American model that were cut, copied and pasted. And, you know, and then we're seeing that more and more throughout the world. And I think that's why the American system, you know, is really gaining traction across the world. I know that the FAA is working with ICAO to try to make the system more compliant to an international system.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very interesting. Yes.
All that said, Canada has come a long ways and done quite a bit on their own for their own airspace and their own rules that are quite a bit different from ours right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
So definitely something that you need to pay attention to up there is specifically the way Canada set things up.
Totally, totally. Now, moving on to the actual in-person training. So, you know, he talked about our online training, asking some questions about how relevant that is. What about some of our in-person training? He talked specifically about Flight Mastery. You know, Flight Mastery, this is a course that is not, again, it is unlike anything else that's out there for training because it was built by real experienced pilots. It's systematic. It covers many aspects of the training. You know, we do stuff that DJI doesn't even know about, UTC, all that crap. I've heard so many testimonials to say, man, you really go over the nuanced information that when the crap hits the fan, you need to know. Otherwise, you're not going to be a successful pilot. And I mean, that Flight Mastery can't, you know, he asked the question, is your training really focused on phantoms? Why do we tell people to bring phantoms to Flight Mastery? Very simple. First of all, most Mavics do not have attitude mode. Okay. If you go to a drone training and they say that you're going to fly Mavics, unfortunately, I could tell you right now, right off the bat, that you are not going to learn enough to be a safe pilot, to scale your operations, to avoid a flyaway, to avoid mag interference safely, In addition, you're not really going to know how to, conquer wind bias. You're not going to really get the most out of the drone for smooth cinematic motion. So if you want to be a really good cinematographer or videographer, well, without attitude mode, it's going to be extremely difficult, especially when subject tracking. In fact, it's impossible. And then when it comes to, avoiding a flyaway, well, you're not going to learn how to do that since the drone, again, doesn't have attitude mode. Now, why is Drone Use Flight Mastery course focused around phantoms? Well, because we put you in very difficult circumstances because, like manned aviation training, we believe that you should have these emotional experiences of what happens during an emergency. What happens when you're flying very close to things, you're close to proximity? How do you handle those situations? How do you know which orientation the drone is facing? How do you stop these problems? So oftentimes there's a lot of crashes at our training. In fact, I want you to crash at my training. Mm-hmm. Why do I want you to crash at my training? Because I want you to get right back up on your feet. Like, you get bit by a shark on a surfboard. I want you to get back out in that water as fast as you can to kill any potential emotional blocks or emotional impedances that are going to restrict your ability to make logical decisions in the future in the field. Because if you're constantly acting out of fear, you're going to end up causing yourself more problems than you would have previously had prior to that. So when someone crashes a Phantom, typically they can crash a Phantom up to, well, I now know because we busted two additional burner drones in this last training.
Wait, at NTSB?
No, not at NTSB.
Like, not again.
No, we still have that. We still have the new burner drone that we got from David. Thank you, by the way. And it's working just fine still. So very happy about that. That being said, the Phantom can take a beating. It can crash a few times. It's a very well-built drone. The Mavic, when it crashes, you're pretty much toast. Because the gimbal's so inset into the drone itself. Now, have we had people go through the course with Mavics? Yes, we totally have. But the thing is, again, I want you to crash. I want you to be pushed to your limit while you're at the training so you understand what that limit is and you don't cross that limit when you're out in the field. In fact, one particular agency has made the Flight Mastery course a standard for their particular agents. And we've been approached by another agency that wants to do the same thing. And I think that speaks volumes. So when it comes to in-person training, I'm very, very proud of what we've got. Constantly working on it. We do our own format of a check ride at this point. And for everyone who's really experienced it, and even Bill, when he saw the updated format this time, he was like, gosh, he's like, such a great class. And you take it even further. So that's
good stuff.
That's what really makes me proud.
Yeah.
So to answer the question, is our training really focused around Phantoms? No. Our in-person training is focused around Phantoms because typically those drones are set up. They're ready to go for most students. Can we cater to students who don't fly Phantoms? Yes, and we do it every training. When it comes to our online training, though, does our online training cater to Phantoms or DJI in general? Well, if you check out our Don't Crash course, you're going to find that we have the Mavic 2 Pro, the Mavic 2 Enterprise, the Phantom 4, the Phantom 4 Pro, the Inspire 1, the Inspire 2, the H520 from Unique. We even did something on the Solo, but I think we just recently took that down since no one's flying the Solos anymore. And we have
What's
some...
What's the other one? The orange one.
That was the Unique H520.
No. The new, smaller orange one.
Oh, the Splash drone.
No.
Oh, that's on there too.
That's on there too? No, the smaller one that's sort of a Mavic competitor. It slipped my mind.
The Autel Evo.
Autel Evo.
Yes.
We've got that on there too, I think.
If
not.
I think it's like almost ready to go, but
okay.
It's not.
So that one's coming, if not.
Yeah, it's not quite done. We were waiting for some questions to be answered by Autel, but we need to get that up because I think we're going to see a new drone from Autel soon. So when it comes to the online classes, we absolutely do cater to more drones than just that. We have traditionally catered to DJI, and as more and more drones are coming out from more and more competitors, we typically only work with drones that we see as commercially feasible.
Right.
So if we think, this really isn't scalable, we tend to not work with it. So.
Yeah, there are, it's like anything, there are so many out there that, I was even thinking about BMW cars. I don't know why, but there are so many models. I don't even know how they keep track of all those models, and you just can't keep track of all of them. Same thing with drones. There's so many models of drones. It has to be narrowed down. And the reason we've done so much with DJI is because 70-80% of the people flying them, flying drones commercially, were using them, right? So it all adds up. But as they come out, like Skydio, that'll be on there pretty soon, I'm sure, as soon as we can get our hands on that.
Already talking to Skydio right now, so expecting to have that as a part of our suite. Also expecting to include Impossible Aerospace. We've already, we're already working with them too. So really, really, really excited to work with more and more drones that we believe are feasible for companies.
Absolutely.
But I think that that's really important to understand is that, you know, while we do cater to our audience, we don't just cater to the lowest common denominator. We cater to people who understand that if they're going to build a significant business and they're going to be successful, they need to create habits, routines, and scalable systems. And in order to do that, you have to utilize reliable equipment, which is why we teach on what we teach.
Absolutely.
Those questions?
I think so. I mean, I think there are a couple we can hit really, really quickly. Obviously, you can come to the U.S. and take our classes. You don't have to have a Part 107 just to come take a class. That's not necessary. We haven't been to Canada, but we've talked about it.
We have talked about
getting up to Canada. You asked if we do go to Canada. And no, we don't have anybody to recommend at this point. But come visit.
But with the new rules that they just implemented and with the fact that we've been speaking with Transport Canada, I'm hoping that we can do a class on the West Coast and the East Coast of Canada next year.
Absolutely. And I will say we are talking to somebody from Canada that we like. Our initial conversations have been positive, who we might be able to kind of help fit that niche and need that you're referring to. As far as a Canadian rate, yeah, that's you and Donald Trump are not very happy with our currency right now. It's a little strong around the world. And you're seeing why
there's
that's
some
painful.
Great podcasts on that, by the way.
There are a lot of
macro
great podcasts.
Voices. Check it out.
Yeah, for sure. So I tell you what, on that point, email us. that's probably not something that we're going to do on a macro level, because there's not enough time in the day. But if you email us, I bet we'll figure something out.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening, everyone. We really do appreciate it. If you would leave us a quick review. Just go really quick, leave us a review wherever you listen to shows, on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Pandora, wherever you listen, please leave us a review. It helps others find the podcast. Why is that important? Well, the more educated people we have in this industry, the more likely that we are to allow the freedoms to fly. So also, if you have a question, please send in your question. And for anyone who has I don't want to bring up a controversial point, but I want to ask this, bring it up.
Yeah, please.
I think that we need to showcase in this world that conflicting ideas and having deep conversations about them is actually a good thing. They may be uncomfortable, but the only way that we're going to grow as people is if we are comfortable with having uncomfortable conversations. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it showcases our emotional intelligence to be able to do that. And I would leave you with this open-ended calibrated question, but how can we grow as a human, as a society, as a government, as a world, if we're not pushing ourselves to openly communicate about difficult issues?
Well said, and I think you have found that we're okay with a little bit of controversy. So send those questions in no matter what.
Obviously, I've been yelling at Rob quite a bit because all the hair is now off his head.
It's all his fault, not my five kids.
On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.